Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. I am your co-host, Chris Seveny. Today, excited to introduce Tim Kelly from Active Duty Passive Income. Tim, how are you doing today?
I will not complain, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure. And let's get into this, man. Let's have a good conversation and add some value here.
Yeah, today we are going to dive in, talk a little bit about passive income, some high-performing psychology, also talk about Tim's transition from residential to commercial real estate, which I know a lot of people look to do and probably might think it's simple on paper, but personally, having been in both sides of business, I know it's not, but let's hear what Tim has to say about it. Tim, yeah. Why don't you tell us what you're going on today?
What's going on? Again, Tim Kelly. Right now, I'm based out of the Tampa Bay area. If anybody's familiar, specifically in Newport Richey, Florida. I spent about 15 and a half years in the Navy, last station in Pensacola, Florida. And just to give you an idea of when I got and how I got my real estate bug, I ended up getting out of the military about 2.5 years ago, November of 2020, three years this month, crazy. But I had this curiosity. I was on a long deployment in 2014. I had a curiosity about personal finance and building wealth. And I read a bunch of books and I just got really opened to the idea that anybody could invest in real estate and anybody could kind of create passive income and build wealth. So I'm like, aha, moments, like epiphanies, got off that deployment all of 2015. Went on a journey and learned as much as I possibly could about real estate investing. And then I quickly gravitated to the commercial multifamily. I did a little bit of residential. I ended up house hacking of my VA loan in 2011 and turned into a live and flip and all that. But I didn't actually get the bug till 2015. And then I dove right into commercial multifamily and I was still active duty and I was still focusing on commercial multifamily, both apartment complexes and mobile home parks. But then there was kind of a wrench thrown in there because I was on the Bigger Pockets podcast back in 2018 as a featured guest. And I just kind of shared my story. I was still active duty. And the co-founder of this incredible military real estate investing community that now I'm a co-owner in and one of the board of advisors, it's Active Duty Passive Income. It was a small community, just one course, just a small podcast. And it's exploded ever since, but I've helped build that. And so that's why I got out of the military 15 and a half years. I decided investing in commercial multifamily was a lot more aligned with my goals and building this huge education community to help other military members achieve financial freedom. Owning more of America was just a lot more in line with my passion and my goals. And now I'm at the point where I'm focusing a lot of time and effort building the community, the education community, specific to the coaching program and the masterminds and the education is specifically. And then I'm also investing mostly passive. I'm actually looking to get a little bit more active now. There are tons of deals coming across my desk. As you've seen, that you could be a little bit more open. And I had to open my buy box a little bit because of the state of the market and the interest rates and the economy. I'm not specific to certain markets, the Midwest and Southeast, like I was before, specific to apartments and mobile home parks. But now I kind of open that buy box up to more markets and more asset classes. I also do high performance coaching one-on-one. I'm a certified high performance coach and I love helping people one-on-one just crush through their goals and or get over their self-limiting beliefs and everything like that. I know that's a lot, but I've just given you an idea of a little bit of the journey and then where I'm at today.
Or two or three things that interested me as part of that, and a lot of it did, but the two things that popped in my head were one, you definitely give back. The coaching, whether it's a business coaching, personal coaching, the passive investing community, educating people on that, that is so imperative, especially today with making sure investing in the right deals. And two, making that jump from, you know, basically taking your VA loan, flipping it, and then jumping right into commercial. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that is a very nonchalantly. That's like going from high schools to the professionals doing something like that. Tell us a little bit about A, the mindset you had going into it, as well as tell us about one of your first deals or how you approached it.
Breaking it down will definitely help. I didn't have the real estate bug. I was just looking for a home. In 2011, I was stationed in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, and I just wanted to use my VA loan. It's an incredible benefit for past and present military members. It's a 0% down loan, and you could actually get into a fourplex. It's just like an FHA or residential loan. You could just get up to four units as long as you live in one unit. I didn't know that at the time. So I got a single family home. And luckily for me, there was a master bedroom on the upper level and a master bedroom on the lower level. I ended up house hacking the lower level bedroom because I'm like, I had this lower level bedroom. I mean, I don't think I'm going to have family coming in too often. Plus, there's another bedroom for them to stay. Let me go ahead and rent this out. And most of my mortgage was actually covered through that. Did the house hacking thing before I knew it. You know, it was now a go-to strategy for a lot of people. And it's an amazing way to catapult your wealth and to catapult into the real estate game. House hacking, just living in one unit, renting out the other three for those who are unaware. Even if it's a single family home, renting out one of the bedrooms or two of the bedrooms, you're immediately a homeowner, immediately an investor, immediately a landlord if you choose to be. But anyway, I got the epiphanies in the education, like I said, back in 2015 after I went on that deployment. And commercial and multifamily made a whole lot of sense to me, but I did do a couple residential deals, the small multifamily, the big picture. I wanted as many doors under one roof as possible. I ended up getting a fourplex. The minute I got orders from Virginia Beach to Pensacola, I got orders and I immediately started connecting with people in Pensacola who were the agents who could help me and multifamily investors. I stumbled upon fourplex. I wanted a house hack, but I was still focused on the large commercial and multifamily. So I ended up house hacking that fourplex. And then I ended up house hacking another triplex using the VA loan. It was a VA rehab loan, similar to the 203K loan, if you're familiar with that. It's an FHA loan. Actually, the same loan that I used for the fourplex, where you could wrap the cost of rehab into the loan. Just reading and really gathering as much information as possible about all the different ways people can get into real estate and create wealth and build passive income. You know, I just made the decision. I think this was hugely important for me. I made the decision to focus on commercial multifamily even before I had any kind of experience. I heard a couple people say you don't have to like get one property, then two, then maybe a two unit, then maybe a four unit, then maybe an eight unit, and then eventually one day. You don't have to do that. I mean, it's not a bad way to do it. But listen, I took that advice. I'm like, cool, I'm just going to go straight for the large stuff. And even though I got the fourplex and then the triplex, I closed on the 42 unit apartment complex with some friends that I met in the local RIA in Pensacola when I started networking. Before I even got to Pensacola, like I said, I reached out to people. I got orders. Like 9 months later, I ended up moving. That month, I closed on the fourplex. 6 months later, I ended up closing on that apartment community at that point. And from there, after that, closed on a mobile home park. And from there, that was my focus for a while. But so that transition for me was kind of unique, but I didn't really do a whole, I wasn't focused on residential investing almost at all. I was focused on getting as many doors as possible while I was as my primary residence. And that happened to be small multifamily, but you know, I didn't let it hold me back thinking that I can't do it just because I don't have a ton of residential experience. I sort of went straight into commercial multifamily, and I've met a lot of people that have done it similar. And I actually help people go through that transition because most of it is mindset.
When you're acquiring all these assets, and again, so your active service at the time, did you have property managers to manage your properties for you and so forth? Or did you really try and do it all? Or did you hire people that you buy it, get it, and then just hand it over to somebody? It's a little bit more passive, but you're definitely active, of course, in that whole mix. Curious how that came through.
Yeah, I mean, I self-managed the four unit property with the intent of understanding how it all works, just so I could hire the right property manager. I knew I was going to end up hiring the right property manager, but I wanted to do it myself a little bit. I just managed it up to the point where I got it completely occupied, just the four units. And I had like software that I use for easy tenant screening and all that, submitting their maintenance issues and stuff like that. I self-managed for about 6 or so months. I got it completely occupied. Then I managed it a little bit. Then I started interviewing property managers because I was still active duty. I did have a full-time job at the time, but get into real estate to manage tenants and properties. I got into real estate to slowly build passive income and build generational wealth. And ever since then, I've had a property manager. I've never managed any of my own deals.
That's interesting that it hit me when you're mentioning that. You took something that most people would just immediately go to the property manager and say, hey, I don't want to deal with this. You took the time, spent 6 months. Let me figure out how this is supposed to work. Then I know enough to get myself in trouble when I go to hire the property manager on how to interview them properly. Because I think that's one of the biggest mistakes people have is when they go to hire a property manager, especially if you're a newer investor, you don't know the questions to ask. You don't know what's a good answer, or it's tough to see if someone's giving you a load of BS, like how things work.
I was just going to say, like, she had a BS radar. And if I didn't, I wouldn't know any better. That's funny that you said that. As I was thinking, oh, my BS radar was actually in place because I took that time, and it was super helpful for sure. Yeah.
No, cool. So you took advantage of some of the offerings you had through the VA to acquire these properties and so forth. Now you moved to the mobile home park and you buy a mobile home park. Was that something, you know, you bought individually? Did you team up with investors? Did you raise money for that? How'd that go down?
During that time, it was end of 2017, early 2018. And that's, as I remember, apartment complexes at the time started getting a little bit more difficult to buy. I mean, not compared to right now, but the cap rates were kind of squeezing a little bit. Interest rates were still pretty low, but the market was thriving. Cap rates were squeezing a little bit and it was harder to find deals. And that's when I decided, like, look, there are more mobile home communities and available with a higher cap rate and probability for cash flow. Let me shift this. The best thing that I did was really get educated and work with coaches and get into masterminds to help understand how to speak the language, the specific language of apartments and obviously now mobile home parks, and find other people who are doing it. And then you also find your potential partners. I found a couple partners and we did a joint venture on that. It was local to where I was stationed, just north of Mobile, Alabama. I was in Pensacola, Florida at the time still, and it was about an hour away. And same with the apartment complex. It was about an hour away, just outside of Mobile, Alabama. It was actually two different partnerships. The syndication is how we acquired the apartment complex, but then the mobile home park was a joint venture deal. Just myself and two other partners.
Any of those deals, was there any type of like seller financing involved as well, or any type of creative financing, or was it more straight line conventional?
No. So we got a really, really good deal on the mobile home community. We just paid cash for it. Didn't have any bank financing, but on the apartment complex, we were like borderline going to do seller financing but it didn't work out. So we ended up just working with a local bank, and we got really solid commercial financing with a bridge and IO for 2 years in order to get a bunch of rehab done. Bank financing on the apartment complex, and then on the mobile home park, it was just a joint venture where we essentially split the purchase price three-way between myself and two other partners.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly, with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@7einvestments.com to learn more. Thank you. What asset class do you love the most? Multifamily, the mobile home parks? Is there one you like over the other?
Now, there's a lot more to consider. At that time, I really liked mobile home parks. And truth be told, like through the whole pandemic and all this, anybody that was holding large assets created a lot of equity. There was a lot of millionaires were created during the pandemic. If you were holding apartment communities or mobile home communities, because rents just kept going up. And all that. And so, but through that, the mobile home parks in my portfolio actually thrived more than my apartment complexes. And I think there's a special place in my heart for mobile home parks. And even right now, taking into consideration self-storage and maybe parking lots and car washes and RV parks, there's a lot of other assets that I'm looking at. But I think mobile home parks is probably still my favorite asset class out of all of them.
Moving forward, you know, next 24, 36 months, what do you see yourself, you know, where do you want to be over, you know, next few years?
I'm actually meeting with a couple of partners tomorrow. There's a lot of opportunities. Now I'm here in a market that has a lot of benefits. In the Tampa Bay area, so many people migrated to this area through the pandemic. Even before that, there was more migration here than almost anywhere else, considering all things, maybe like Austin, Texas, and Boise, Idaho. But now people are moving away from Boise. People are still influxing to the Texas markets, but Tampa Bay's thriving. And we're actually looking at car washes, potentially developing car washes. But I'm always on the hunt, and I see mobile home park deals come through all the time. Probably if I had to choose any specific asset class other than mobile home parks, it would be car washes, that I would like to get into the development of car washes. And with that, I mean, interest rates, I don't anticipate interest rates going down. I'm not an economist in any way, shape, or form, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think anybody should expect or even hope that interest rates go down. If they do, great. Yep. But if anything, they're going to go up. And this is, I think, our new normal where we're at right now. And all things considered, I think I'm most excited about developing car washes in markets that where there's a demand.
Yeah, I bought my first house in 2001. And my parents, when they quoted me a 6% interest rate, and they basically were like telling me that I'd be the dumbest person on the planet if I didn't lock that in, because that would be the best rate I'd probably ever see for a decade. Again, historically, rates are 5, 6, 7%, 8%, wherever they are. We had that stretch where they were artificially inflated. I'm not an economist either. I don't have a crystal ball, but I think people are expecting them to go back down to 2.5, 3%, which is where I've got some of my assets in my primary right now sitting at. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, but when I look to acquire things now, I'm just back to thinking, okay, this is probably norm. And now if it goes back down to 5, I'm going to think, wow, that's awesome.
It'll be cool, but you can't expect it at all. For sure.
Let's pivot a little bit. You mentioned about high performance coaching, the psychology behind making that initial leap and just continuing to grow. You mentioned you're part of some masterminds and other groups, and a lot of people will say you're the average of the 5 people you surround yourself with. Let's talk a little bit about that. And, you know, where, you know, is that something that you learned from the military or, you know, from family, just that mindset of really being that high performer, like a lot of athletes have? Now, where do you think you got that from?
That's an interesting question. You know, there's a lot that I took away from, you know, my military service. And this is why I love building a community of past and present military members and their families and spouses and everything. Because, I mean, you definitely learn about commitment, about grit, about integrity, about hard work, about leadership, discipline. And so they're great investors and they're great employees. That's why a lot of people are just trying to hire people coming out of the military, because they're just like, it's ingrained in our DNA, all that stuff. So there's a lot that I learned from that, maybe the continual growth and stuff like that. But it was during that time, I sort of just gravitated to just professional development and just like, how could I just be better and add more value and just increase my level of clarity or confidence or influence or whatever. That's really when I immersed myself in just a lot of different podcasts and books while I was learning about real estate, the mechanics and the how-to, and like just learning to speak the language. I was just as equally learning about how to really master my investor psychology and learning how successful people think and what separates them and what makes them different. And there's so much out there just in books and podcasts alone that it's not like you're reinventing anything. You could literally just read some books and listen to some podcasts or YouTube videos and understand how successful people think. And if you could equally kind of balance out your personal growth and your time that you're educating yourself in both real estate and in mindset and success, I think that's what helped expedite my journey to success. But the more I was learning and I was able to implement, the more traction and momentum I think I got. Even from when I was starting to learn about real estate, I kept hearing that from people that I was listening to and influencers that I listened to who were very successful in real estate that were also harping on the importance of mindset and harping on the importance of mastering your psychology and learning how successful people think. That led me to become a certified high performance coach. And so then I really just learned the different pillars that high performers really focus on, and where when I work with my high performance clients, what are the pillars that I focus on, and then what are those like micro action items and tasks that have to be done to develop that specific pillar. There's a lot that we could peel back in order to break that down.
One of the last things I just want to talk about is, you know, you have this passive income group from, you know, active duty investors, and any of us in the real estate game could agree the last from 2017 to 2021, it was real estate was like shooting fish in a barrel. You had the appreciation happen. So a lot of people made a lot of money, and a lot of, I'll say, sins could be forgiven during that time as well. It's, yeah. You know, times I think have definitely changed. We've, you know, a lot of interest rate environment has really put a lot of hurt on a lot of people. Now, whether it was short-term rentals, multifamily, what are some of the things that you see that pass? If I was a passive investor, you know, what would be the one or two things you would tell me if I want to say, hey, I'm thinking I want to passively invest, what do I need to look for? You know, what are some tidbits you think off the cuff or mistakes you've seen people make or things people should really further their education on as a passive investor?
Yeah, that's such a good question, man. I mean, From a high level, obviously, you have to get educated, and the level of education that you have will significantly is equal to the ability for you to decrease your level of risk. The more competent you are on really specifically like maybe three different things, maybe four as a limited partner. Number one, the team. You're looking at a specific deal. Don't even look at the deal. Look at the team, right? Who are they, and how many times have they taken a deal full cycle where they actually hit the metrics and provided the returns that they projected to their investors? If you don't understand what full cycle means, you purchase a property, you add value to it, it's stabilized, and whether you hold it and maybe refi or where you sell, that's like just full cycle. And there's projections that investors are looking to hit for their passive investors. How many times have they gone full cycle on the same asset class, maybe even in the same market? Number one, and get the cool thing about these private equity type deals, these syndication deals, 506Bs and Cs, there's a really, really good chance you could talk directly to the general partners and get on a phone call with them and really get to know them personally and what their goals are and just a little bit about them and maybe their family or whatever, like get to know how their level of ethics and morals. So definitely the team, and you have to know a little bit about the market, the building itself, and then the numbers. Like, so the team, the market, the building itself, and the numbers, and you have to get educated on all those things. And for me, even if there's specific courses that will take you through all the education from an LP perspective, but if you're looking like just going through commercial, multifamily, or syndication education of some kind, just to give you a really good overview of all that stuff, then that will decrease your level of risk. Just knowing how to analyze the market. How could you tell that this asset that you're looking to invest in is in a predictable path of progress? Understanding what are those major metrics, the population and the median income and the average home value. These are all very important metrics. And then the building itself, what year is it built? You know, what other assets are in the area are similar and how they perform? There's all kinds of other, you know, metrics to look at when you're analyzing the actual structure itself in the dwelling. And then, of course, the numbers. And maybe you could see that the cash on cash is 10% and the IRR is 16 to 18% and the equity multiples is 2. But what do those mean? And does the NOI reflect that? And does the cap rate and NOI match up? And like just understanding, it's all about your education. And then you could actually understand all these things that I'm talking about. And for those of you who do, that should really give you a good overview of really the four things that before you get into a deal, you should understand about the team, understand about the market, understand about the structure, and understand the numbers. And then that should give you enough to make a decision whether it makes sense to move forward, man. Hope that was good.
No, that was good. And something that popped in my head when you're saying that, because I love multifamily, have a good amount of background in it. And you hit a lot of great points. And I think one thing that people miss the boat on, especially early on, is when they're not doing everything you just said about some of that research, is they're just looking at the numbers. And they're just, you know, it's like, to me, it's almost like dating. When you're first dating somebody, you know, sometimes you're hanging out with buddies, or you're having a drink, and it's like, yeah, let's go do this or that. And it's like, you know, those numbers are like, sometimes you have to look at them to understand, are those the drinking buddies, this is why I think we can do type of thing, which you probably could never do? Or is it, hey, that's realistic, and understand the risk profile involved. I looked at a deal recently that basically, because I had some IRA money I wanted to invest, and fortunately I can't invest it in my own fund. I went to go put it in there, and I said, okay, send me the numbers on it. And I've underwritten hundreds of multifamily deals back in my W-2 day. And I'm like, okay, your rent seemed a little bit aggressive. And they're like, well, it's based off of this building. I'm like, yeah, but that building is, looks like it's class above yours, but they're getting $1,500, but they're also given 2 months concessions. Like, you've got no concessions and you're getting the same amount. Something's not jiving here. People listening, concession is something 2 months of free rent. So it might be have a 12-month lease, they give them 14 months, or they stay for 12, the last two are free or whatever. But for people to understand that, those are some of the things that, like you said, the more education you have, the better off you are. And with our fund, we try and educate our investors as much as possible. I know you're a partner with Kelly Housing Group. If you syndicate, I'm sure you probably try and educate those investors as well, correct?
Absolutely. So Kelly Housing Group is really just my own personal entity. All my personal investments go through, like, the active duty passive income is a separate entity, the community and the education that we're building for the military. But like I said, and for right now, how do you master that stuff? You learn about it, you do it, and then you teach it. You've ever heard of this, like, educate to dominate. Not only are you obtaining mastery in whatever you're learning, implementing, and then teaching, but you're also seen as the authority, which is why a lot of people have education and create podcasts and they share education. Not a lot of people are willing to do that. When you educate, you also are seen as an authority or thought leader in that space. And you're also giving your followers or your audience information that's valuable that they could actually use. Education is so important. It's crazy.
As we wrap up, Tim, you know, what's the best way for people to reach out, learn more about everything you've got going on, or ways to follow you?
There's a couple different social profiles. Most of the handles are at the Timothy Kelly. LinkedIn, I'm probably most active on, at the Timothy Kelly. Same thing with Instagram, at the Timothy Kelly. Facebook, at the Timothy Kelly. And then my personal website, thetimothykelly.com. And then the Active Duty Passive Income platform for past and present military members. I'm in there a lot. We're on our own separate off Facebook platform called ADPI Campus now. I do a lot in that if you're a past or present veteran or military member. But if any of this resonated with you at all, shoot me a text. We'll just get on a call and see if I could help you. And maybe we'll partner on some deals, or maybe I could just, you know, give you some insight based on my experience. And you could text me at 847-910-9161 and we'll schedule a call.
Sounds great. Well, Tim, thanks for coming on today. For everyone listening, all of that will also, of course, be in the show notes. It's been great. Pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Awesome, Chris. It was great coming on. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.